Chief Justice Roberts, Vice President Harris, Speaker Pelosi, Leader Schumer, Leader McConnell, Vice President Pence, my distinguished guests, my fellow Americans, this is America's
Hello,
day.
And welcome to the news cycle. I'm Katrina Hawes, and I'll be your host for today. It's Monday, January 25th.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
Last Wednesday, Joseph R. Biden was sworn in to be the 46th President of the United States. From the heightened Capitol security to the first Black South Asian woman assuming the role of Vice President, it was a monumental day for many reasons. To better understand the impact this transition of power will have on our nation, I spoke with UC Davis political science professor, Walter Stone.
Hello, and welcome to the news cycle. Thanks for joining me today. What are some of your thoughts on this past week's inauguration? Can you talk a little bit about that?
It was certainly unique in several respects, some upsetting, such as the very high levels of security that were required after the assault on the Capitol on the 6th. It meant that the crowds were not there to participate in the way we've seen with prior inaugurations. There's always a certain amount of anticipation when there's a change in the party or a new president. In this case, we have not only a new president, but we also follow one of the most controversial and I would say problematic administrations in our history. And we have elected the first female and African-American and Asian descent, all those qualities and characteristics in our former Senator Kamala Harris. So I think there's a lot to note. Of course, it'll be interesting to see how the new administration unfolds.
And so what can we expect to see in the first 100 days of the Biden administration?
Well, I think you can already see that there's going to be a fair amount of energy. It's a little ironic that President Trump labeled him Sleepy Joe. An administration can be very energetic, even if the individual leading it is 77 years old and with the attendant limitations that come with that. And I think you're already seeing that. He's put together a group of leaders in the cabinet positions and in the White House who I think are quite skilled and quite dedicated to the kinds of policy changes that most Democrats would like to see. We're going to see criticism of him too, though, from within his own party, because President Biden is not a deeply committed ideologue. He's much more committed, I think, to as a problem solver and as a deal maker. If you're expecting a kind of massive overhaul of the healthcare system, as many Democrats would like to see, he's too pragmatic and too grounded to achieve that or try to achieve that. So he's going to look problematic to a large part of the Democratic Party, even within his first 100 days. It will be amazing how quickly some of his own party members forget how unhappy they were under Donald Trump and how positively they felt in the first several hours and days of the Biden administration.
The Democrats have control of the presidency as well as the Senate and the House. So do you think that will contribute to more efficiency, or there's also been talk about removing the filibuster and impeachment? How do you think those current issues are going to move forward in Congress?
Well, I would be surprised, but not shocked, if they did away with the filibuster. They have so far refused to make that commitment in the context of negotiating the power-sharing agreement with the Republicans. Since it's a 50-50 tie, it's a little bit unusual. And so don't expect the Senate to move quickly. And even the House, the majority is very close. And I think the impeachment is very interesting. It represents an off-ramp for the Republican Party. That is to say, if you're a Republican senator or donor, for that matter, you may well be fed up with Donald Trump for all kinds of reasons. It will be interesting to see how many Republicans are willing to come out and say and convict him. And there's discussion even today just about whether that's increasing, because it's a way of making him much less relevant.
Yeah, and so how do you think Donald Trump's presidency has impacted the Republican Party as a whole and moving forward? What long-term impact will that have?
Well, I think it has hurt the party, and I think there is some evidence already that people have left the party, so the party is shrinking because of him. You know, when presidents are successful and popular, their party tends to gain support long term. And when they're not, the party tends to lose support. Now, it doesn't just disappear typically, but so there's limits to this, but there is movement that you can discern in polling data over time. And I think President Trump's term will be seen as a historic failure, even though he did achieve certain things. So there are accomplishments he can point to. I think the two things that will stick long-term are his incompetence in dealing with the pandemic, and especially his denial of the election and of the legitimacy of the electoral process. The optics of that are just terrible for him and for the Republican Party. And so party leaders who have defended him and who have prior to that, or even after, but especially prior to that, you know, made comments on the record about supporting him, that's just going to look bad. It already does, but it's going to look worse over time. There is a need for accountability. So this is a tricky, tricky time. It's not going to get better in a hurry, and it's not going to be a simple process.
So what impact do you anticipate the recent transition of power will have on the nation's political landscape and the American public?
Well, I think that there is a sense of hope and of anticipation, at least in the majority of Americans. I think that there's a lot of attention being paid to how Republicans, rank and file Republicans, both in the Congress and in the public, will react, especially given the very damaging misrepresentations about fraud in the election. It's an opportunity for President Biden to demonstrate a commitment and a competence in dealing with something that was not dealt with particularly well by the previous administration. And so that presents an opportunity as well as a challenge. And it's a significant challenge. And then, of course, there are other more longstanding issues, immigration, racial justice, climate change, economic inequality. Those are all major longstanding policy issues that Democrats and Republicans differ on, and that a new president will have to wrestle with in the context of very closely divided Congress and country.
You spoke a little bit about unifying the country. Do you believe that President Biden has the skills and characteristics necessary to be able to unify the country?
If you mean that he will be able to pursue his agenda with only minor opposition, I would say he will not have the skill to do that, and nor would anyone else. We are in a polarized environment where suspicion is definitely going to color people's responses, even when they share a goal. So the fact that there's general agreement on a goal does not mean that you will get unity on how to achieve that goal. And it can be actually quite deep, such that, for example, opposition members in Congress often see policy successes, even ones that do things like boost the economy, as helping their opponents. And that's true for people in both parties. If you mean the kind of unity that would sort of make politics almost disappear, then no, we're not gonna see that. That's a very unrealistic expectation. If you mean that he can lower the temperature, maybe get some Republican support on some of his key policies, maybe. It seems to me that he's the right person to be in the job at this moment in our history. And that I can't think of anyone else in the extensive Democratic field who is running who is better positioned than President Biden, but I think he has an enormous challenge.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Sure. Thanks for contacting me. I appreciate the chance to talk to you.
The news cycle is produced by the Blue Devil Hub in collaboration with the Davis Enterprise. Katrina Hawes and Jihan Moon are the producers. Our theme music is by Daniel Ruiz Jimenez. Thank you for listening. See you next week, Davis.